And a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland here live at Bridgestone Arena inside Jack Daniel's Barrel House, outside sections 111, 112, our home during Predators home games. That means tonight the Predators are at home. They host the Dallas Stars, a first look at a division foe and a Western Conference team. Thus far, it's been the other conference to this point, as they notch their first win of the season on Tuesday night with a thriller over the Philadelphia Flyers. They came back in the final minute 17 with two goals, and they skate away with the 6-5 victory. It was a lot of fun. We talked about it yesterday on the show, the festivities beforehand, the ceremony, the raising of the banner, and it was really cool. Great energy in the building. I expect the same tonight as the Preds host the Stars. You will. We've got a lot of good stuff for you. Willie will join us a little bit later in the program. Predators are about to hit the ice for morning skate, and he's got some meetings, and then we got morning skate, and then he'll join the program right as we are going to be joined by Richard Deitch in the second hour of the show. We'll catch up with him. A lot to get into. He certainly is very good about TV contracts and how it affects, and I'm just going to ask him right out of the gates, this U.S. choke job, what does it mean? And how would you like to be Fox? You paid $200 million for Pete Weber. And Pete Weber's worth it. He's a good guy, but is he worth $200 million?
I don't know. I think he might be.
Would you pay him $200 million?
I would pay Pete $200
million.
Yeah.
He just walked by. I was kidding. $200 million for the English broadcast, and obviously they were guaranteed, what was it, three games?
Yeah.
If the U.S. qualified and got into the World Cup, they get Zippo from U.S., and so right now that looks like a dud deal for Fox. But nonetheless, you have to do this in advance. You roll the dice. You expect them to get in. That's what they've done the last 30 years, and it didn't happen.
Yep.
Swing and a miss, kind of like the Indians last night.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm here.
I was a little concerned about you.
JMK 111158 on Twitter said, and I quote you, D-Mac, the Yankees are not going to beat Kluber tonight. See you next year. Go Yankees. Yeah, okay, you're right. I did say that.
You did.
I believe that.
You did.
Kluber stunk the series. I mean, what am I going to say? The guy was lights out. He's going to win the Cy Young, and he didn't perform like the ace that he was all season in this series. So hats off to the Yankees. What am I going to say about that? I mean, Kluber just was not good. And there's no way you could convince him. I mean, yes, they came back. They roughed him up in game two, and they came back and won. But he still wasn't good. He didn't get the win. They just won in spite of Corey Kluber's performance. Did I think he was going to look the same way? Did he get roughed up as bad? No. But the bottom line is he couldn't figure out their lefties. He could not figure out, you know, those guys on the left side of the plate, and he was awful against lefties, and they made him pay, and they made him pay dearly. And he didn't even make it to the fourth inning. It's pretty pathetic. Well, I guess he made it to the fourth, right?
Yeah.
He just didn't finish the fourth.
He didn't finish the fourth.
Which wasn't good.
Well,
so, if you'd have told me, I felt good. I felt very good going
did?
In. I thought Kluber is going to come out and look like the Kluber that we saw, especially in the month of September. Listen to this stat. Kluber gave up 3 home runs in the month of September.
Wow.
He gave up 4 in the series.
Wow. 2 were last night.
2 in both games.
Yeah.
2 starts, 4 home runs. He gave up 3 in the month of September.
You know, baseball is it's a game of trends, game of streaks.
It's a cruel sport.
It's a cruel sport. But you look at the Indians, and I know you don't want to hear this, but this is what everybody's going to be saying. Did they peak too soon? Did they get hot, you know, a little bit before they should? The Yankees, I think, have gotten hot at the right time, and that's the way it is sometimes.
I don't believe in all that. I don't. Because we have too many instances where the Predators, they didn't – it's not like they were blazing into the playoffs last year. Were they the sexy pick last year?
No.
They were the sexy pick by our show.
But they turned it on when they got into the playoffs.
Our show. which each one of us picked them to get to the Stanley Cup final before the playoffs started.
True.
Nobody else did that. But it's not like they were – but nobody – why would you? They were the eighth seed. They were the last team in. I mean, what – so to me, I mean, we'll find out with the Dodgers, I guess – I'm sure that will make, you know, that'll be another example for what you just said. For that case, if the Dodgers don't get there, then you'll say, well, you know, when they went 45-5 in the middle of the season, what good was that other than, yeah, you were able to crumble down the stretch and fade away and still have the best record in baseball because you built such a cushion nobody could catch up. But in the end, what good was it? I don't believe in – trying to figure, you can't pick your spots in sports. You can't say, okay, you know, this stretch, it's early, so we can do whatever. So whatever happens this stretch, we're okay with it. Middle of the season, okay, this particular stretch, let's put our foot on the gas a little bit more. Let's mash down a little bit more. Let's increase our speed like we're driving a car. Let's make this month a better month. It's just not how, okay, down the stretch. Okay, now, okay, well, now we're gearing up. All right, let's go. That's just not how it works.
I mean, sometimes you just get into a groove, though. I mean,
everybody wants to be going into the playoffs in any sport flying high. That's the goal of everybody. Well, it doesn't work that way. Not everybody's going in flying high.
But
some teams limp into the playoffs.
Like, do you ever have, like, an instance, like, if you've been playing golf consistently or something, and you're just – everything you hit is perfect, and you're just on it. And then there are other times where you can't hit a good shot to save your life. Sometimes that happens. I mean, there's certain swings, certain streaks that teams go on, and that's what I see. That's how I mean, you can disagree, but that's just kind of how I see it sometimes, that you get into a certain rhythm and can't miss, and then sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right, but I mean the Capitals. Okay, let's look at the Capitals.
Okay,
President's Cup, solid team all year, dominated the regular season. They were the favorite.
Yep,
they didn't make it out of the second round.
Nope,
dominated the whole season. Looked like a well-oiled machine. Basically, clobbered everybody. Best team in hockey.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you explain not making it out of the second round? You have a body of work for 82 games that we all looked at and said, yeah, okay, that's pretty good. That's the team that should win it all.
And some of that could be
so
mental.
They went into the playoffs.
Right?
They went into the playoffs, a well-oiled machine, everybody's sexy, everybody's pick. Not sexy pick, everybody's pick.
Right. It seemed like the obvious choice.
And the obvious choice.
They have this thing in their head. One, they can't beat the Penguins, and two, it's the second round. There's something going on with that, and I don't know if that's a mental thing or what it is. That's the thing with sports. We can sit here and have this conversation and obviously have two different viewpoints on it, and I don't really see a clear-cut explanation of why it happens, but that's what it is.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's a
you
good
can't,
point.
There's no – like, we can have examples for both of our arguments that will work in our favor.
Right.
Because there is no clear-cut answer. There is no true formula.
Which, at the end of the day, is why we love sports.
Well, I think it really, in the end of the day, it's about who has the – let's see. Let's clean it up for radio purposes. The gumption this time of year, because that's what it takes,
right?
It takes some teams – know how to win, or some teams learn how to win at this time. Maybe they don't have the track record. Like the Penguins and the Blackhawks had earned those stripes. The Kings had earned those stripes. They've faded away the last couple of years, but whenever you do certain things at the end of the year going into the playoffs, you earn stripes. Same thing in baseball. Right now the Nationals have earned – they've got a chance – to prove everybody wrong because no one's picking the Nationals, right? Because why? Because they get in there and they always do a big choke job.
And Dusty Baker has a track
record.
Dusty Baker has
a horrible track record in the playoffs. He's a really, really good regular season manager, but he, for whatever reason, has hiccups, brain cramps in the playoffs.
Yep.
And it doesn't work out for him. Now he's got the opportunity at home, game 5 tonight, to erase all that, or at least exorcise some of the demons. I guess you can't erase it by winning a divisional round, but you can certainly exorcise some of the demons. Now, they get to the World Series, then that all changes, right? But some teams know how to, the Dodgers haven't figured that out. They've been very good in the regular season. They haven't been good in the playoffs. Maybe right now, the Indians, I don't know. I don't even know if it's the Indians right now. I think it's just the franchise. They are the new lovable losers.
Yeah.
Because they cannot break down the final walls. They cannot do it. I mean, think about it. They were great in 95, couldn't finish the job.
Right. 97.
97. Game 7. They were on the the clubhouse was getting ready.
Yeah.
For the celebration.
The Marlins.
Didn't happen. Last year, you're up 3-1 in the series. You're at home, even so, getting it to Game 7. You're at home. Game 7. You lose.
Yeah.
You're at home. Okay, you're up 2-0. Yankees take care of business at home. You still get Game 5 at home. Guess what? And you choke.
Yep.
You lose.
And they were in it going into the, I guess it was, what, the eighth inning? It was 3-2?
Well, that what was it, the fifth or the sixth inning when they, the double play? I mean, they had it going that inning. They had played it two, could have kept the,
but even
really
then,
broke it open,
time.
Changed the whole momentum. Yeah, you had to, yes, but you also had the golden opportunity right there. You push Sabathia out of the game, and you have a critical double play that ends the inning. And to me, was probably the game.
I agree. And then Todd Frazier, you know, with in the eighth inning, I guess, the double or whatever, and then everything just kind of falls off there in the eighth, and it really took the steam took the steam out of everything. But, hey, it was a great run, but I know it didn't end the way you wanted it to.
I mean, it's not really a great run because when you're built, you're good enough to win it all, and you're out in a divisional round, it doesn't feel good that it was a great run.
I understand. I'm just trying to make you feel better.
There is nothing that's going to make me feel better other than maybe some really cool, good food, maybe.
Yeah, good food.
While we're doing the show.
That would help.
That would make me feel better.
That would help. Does Maddox have a game tonight? A win?
He does.
Okay,
a
win there
a
would
win
be good.
A win tonight against a good team.
There you go.
To remain undefeated would be good. Yes.
There you go.
There are things that can help.
Yes. And a Preds win
would
help, too.
A Preds win tonight over the Stars would be great.
Yeah.
So there are things that can help. But overall, thinking of baseball.
So will you watch the rest of the way now?
But
you just won't have that.
I won't have the same feeling.
You're not going to pull for Sonny?
No, I'm not rooting for the Yankees.
The Stros.
Forget the Yankees.
All in on the Stros.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Astros. Forget the Yankees. I'm not ever rooting for the Yankees.
I know. By the way, so we were at Smashville Live last night.
I love Cliff McCardle, but I'm not going to root for his team.
Yeah, he was.
He's a great guy, but I'm not rooting for his team.
He was very happy. Let's just say that. He was, because when we left, it was 3-0, so he's feeling pretty good.
I know. Thank goodness I'm not at the station today.
Yeah.
I don't have to run into him.
I'm sure he's got a Yankees cap on.
I'm sure he does.
So.
Going to have Heath Evans, NFL Network. In the next segment, we'll talk about – by the way, this is a good game tonight. Eagles-Panthers, talk about that.
The Eagles have been intriguing. They have been very intriguing, and I like what I see so far, but it's one of those that I don't want to get too far ahead of things with them. So I want to see a little bit more before I'm ready to say, okay, that's their lock. That's a good team, just because of what we've seen the last few years. But they've been fun to watch thus far. Carson Wentz, you're starting to see him really get it.
Robbie Stanley just walked by our set.
He looks like a
starting NFL quarterback on game day.
Does.
The only thing he's missing was his headphones.
Yep. Walking with a purpose.
Do you think they're really listening to anything? Or do you think that they just do that so they don't get bothered?
I think they're listening.
You do?
Yeah, because I know that they got to have their music.
But that's hours before the game.
I know. Like, when I was in high school and working with the football team, it was, they were very particular on the music, and if they didn't like the music, they brought their headphones because they had to have their playlist before the game. It's like that. I just think athletes are like that. They have to have their music to get them in the zone.
Because you always see every starting quarterback, right, when they show the shot of them walking into the stadium.
The Beats.
They've got, right. Well, whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they've got.
Yeah.
It used to always be just the Beats, but now there's
right.
Bose. There's a lot of good headphones out there. But Beats kind of got out in front of everybody.
Yep. And then now they have the wireless
ones. Billions.
Ugh. Billions and billions and billions.
Selling them. Billions. Headphones.
Dr. Dre had
Dr. Dre, right, I know.
Yeah. So, good to be Dr. Dre.
It is really good to be Dr. Dre, man.
Don't you...
Don't tell me about your bad day.
Right.
See, I can complain about a bad day. I don't have that life. Dr. Dre, there are certain people in the world, like, you know, I don't... A lot of them, I'm not going to say on the air, but there's a lot of people. It's like, I don't want to hear... In fact, I've told some of them. Like, I don't want to hear your bad day, okay?
Right.
Give me a break. Your life is really, really good.
I look at people like him, and obviously... He's made his money.
He's earned it.
He deserves
every bit of it.
But I look at people like him, and I'm like, just once, could I do something? Just one time to hit it big? He's hit it big multiple times with different things, being a rapper, being a producer, the Beats. I mean, doing everything. Just one time. Can I just one time? Doing something. I don't know what that would be.
Well, I'm going to say, you just can't magically
I got to figure out what that
billions.
Is. I got to figure out how
because
I'm
you want
that.
Like I want to, but
right.
Just because you want something doesn't mean
right.
That's going to happen.
We had Stanford Steve on yesterday. If I could be Stanford Steve, I think I'd take that. But
really,
you know, he seems like he's got a cool gig.
Yeah, but that's not going to be the satisfaction
no.
levels that we're talking about. Give
right?
Me a break.
Okay, SVP.
You
if
do
I could be SVP.
No, no.
Why?
Because that that's
make
nice,
good money.
That yes, but that's nice for. A month or 6 months, and then you go right back into what you do. Okay, it's just a job.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
We're talking about levels that you know.
What would be your level?
I mean, Mike Fisher has a cannon. Okay, that's the goal for me. I want to get to the point where I can have a cannon. I own a cannon.
That'd be kind of cool,
right? I mean, he gets up every day and just goes and shoots the cannon to start.
Zach
off his
Cozart
day.
Has a donkey.
That's not. That's
Joey Votto bought it for him.
Yeah, but that's not a good example.
Okay.
Zach Cozart's a nice guy. He's a Nashvillian.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm looking for, a donkey.
You want a cannon.
No, I'm saying that is like when you're in that status, when you own a cannon, those are don't tell me about your bad days.
Right.
You see, that's what I'm getting at. When a certain status, when you have this, like Scott Van Pelt's job, it's great. And I like him. I think he does it. But that, don't tell me that you walk in. Every day from then on out, and it's just the greatest day ever. Baloney. After 6 months, you're like, yeah, great. I'm at the desk, ESPN, doing a late night sports center. That's all. That's what it is. Doesn't mean you don't love what you do.
Right.
It does. We're talking about above and beyond. I mean, people that life is taken care of.
Right.
There are no worries. Yes, you still have them, but there truly are no worries because you're set.
Right. Yeah,
you see what I mean? Like Dr. Dre has
no,
he can't really
done.
Complain.
He can do whatever.
Like
he
the
wants.
Air conditioning unit is out in my mansion. Okay, well, great. Well, go
buy a new one.
Just no, actually, call somebody to come out and put new ones in, and that's it.
Right. You could also be like Pecorine, as we learned last night.
Actually, he doesn't even call. His people call.
His people call.
He doesn't do anything.
Right.
He doesn't have to do anything. His people take care of that stuff.
Does he call the people?
Well, yeah, he has to relay the message, but then the people take care of everything.
Or does he have just like one person that's always like standing there next to him?
Think about it. That's the extent of his bad day. See, for us, a unit goes out at the in the house. It's a big deal. I mean,
right.
you gotta take care of that, and you still have a job and kids and a family. You
right.
still have your full time life.
You gotta,
but
fit
you
that
have
in.
To you have to fit that into your schedule.
Right.
The units go out in the mansion. One call. To
yeah.
the guy and your people,
take care
you
of
say, hey, units are out. Need new units in the mansion. Take care of it. Click. That's it. 5 seconds. Okay, boss. Maybe 10 seconds. That's the conversation. And you walk away from that problem.
Right.
That's it.
You don't even have to let the person say, okay, boss.
That's where I'm saying that's where you've got the status where don't tell me about your bad days.
Yeah.
When you're in that hemisphere, no bad, that world, you don't have bad days.
Hashtag no bad days.
No bad days. No bad days.
But what I was going to say, you could also be like Pecorino. We learned last night on Smashville Live that Pekka has a sauna in his house. He's installed a sauna.
Okay.
Because in Finland, saunas are big. That's like you have sauna parties.
Sauna parties.
Right.
Okay.
That's a big thing. And so Pekka.
What do you do in sauna parties?
I didn't ask too many questions.
I think that would be intriguing. Like, what do you do?
You just hang out in the sauna. You just kind of sit and chill, and that kind of helps your body and everything. So they're like, all the Finns were very big on that of having time in the sauna.
Okay.
And so Pekka told us last night that he has a sauna in his house that he has installed, which, you know, to us, it's like, okay, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but to them it is. It's something that they really want to have. And he was talking about that, you know, when as working through
his
career.
Do you like that? Like, which one do you prefer, sauna or steam room?
It's a good question. I think a sauna for me.
Really? I think the sauna's too.
Is it too much?
Too much. You? It's a little too much. Like, that's what I'm saying. What do you do with a sauna party? Because it's so hot. I don't, like, it's a party. You're making it festive.
Right.
It's supposed to be fun. Like, I don't know if I don't have fun.
See, I would think I would want to have.
Like, a jacuzzi is fun.
Right.
Like, it's hot, but it's fun.
Right.
You can make it fun.
Because even though it's hot, there's water. So it's like.
Right.
There's something about that, too.
It's bubbling.
Right. I think.
There's jets. You can put it on your back. That feels good. I mean, you can make that fun.
I think for me, I would want to have like the sauna available, but I would need to walk out to a pool to cool off. Like, I would have to have that. Like, I couldn't just chill in the sauna for however long you chill in the sauna.
I'm now curious why saunas are so,
I don't know,
big in Finland. But he painted the picture like that's a big deal in,
right,
Finland. Like,
and
like sauna is the thing.
UC Saros and Mika Salamaki backed him up because, you know, they. And when they lived with Pekka, I mean, they would all, you know, have the sauna, have sauna time.
Okay.
So that was a big thing.
Interesting. All right, when we come back, Heath Evans, NFL Network. We'll talk about tonight's game and so much more. The Giants are a mess. We'll talk about the Titans and the Colts Monday night. Lots to get into with Heath Evans. We do that next on 3D, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Darren McFarland here, Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Stars tonight. Roman Josi and Colton Sissons, who were out of the lineup Tuesday night against the Flyers, back out on the ice this morning. So we'll find out what that means for tonight's game against the Stars. Willie Donick will join us a little bit later in the program. D-Mace is out today. He is up in Ann Arbor. He is looking at schools for DJ, and I think he wants to start at Michigan. That's what I'm going to start doing, by the way. When Derek misses shows, I'm just going to start making up stories.
Okay.
So he's up in Michigan looking at schools for DJ.
The big house.
He wants to start with the Wolverines.
Uh-huh. I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. I think if you're going to make up stories, make believable ones, because I don't know if that's believable.
Nobody bought that?
No,
I mean,
not
after
that.
After Friday when he called him scum you?
Yeah, he still calls him that.
Our next guest, Heath Evans. NFL Network analyst. You can see him throughout the week. NFL Total Access at 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget Thursday Night Football. Good game tonight. Eagles and Panthers. That game can be seen on CBS, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. We say good morning to Heath Evans. Heath, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Always good to talk to you. We're doing great. Let's start. You know, you as a player, we're trying to figure out here. You dealt with injuries. You know injuries. When you play this sport, especially you do it a long time, they're inevitable. Nobody can avoid them. Marcus Mariota is dealing with a hamstring injury. You played a different position, but I don't know if you had to deal with hamstring injuries or not. But he missed last week, trying to figure out if he's going to play Monday night against the Colts, even if he plays. We saw Sam Bradford tried to give it a go Monday night. He went for about a quarter and a half. He's got a knee issue, and he just couldn't make it work. Just talk about that delicate balance of trying to get out on the field and help your team, but you're dealing with an injury that, you know, may allow you to play, but you can't be as effective as you normally are, and how you weigh all the options.
Well, I think for both those players that you mentioned, the teams are significantly better with them on the field. And, it, you know, I always I respect a guy like Sam. I mean, obviously he had no business being out on that field. But I respect the mental tenacity to get out there because he knows how good that team can be if he is at his best, which he was nowhere near that. So I respect the toughness. This league lacks that drastically this day and age, with too many guys worried about their personal brand and their personal stat sheets and their next paycheck and everything else. But I think with Marcus, hamstrings are tricky. You know, most of the time they come from some form of hip imbalance, so your team chiropractors and soft tissue therapists are just trying to get you straightened out, but only the player knows. I would still argue that even if he has to limit his own personal mobility, this team is significantly better with him out there just because the offense is called different. The rhythm of the offense is different. The run game can be different because of the mobile threat that he presents, moving the pocket, et cetera, et cetera. So, listen, man, injuries, you said it. It's a cliche. We're all going to have them. I love the tough guys that, for the sake of their team, will get out there and war through it. And I think the Titans definitely have one of those champs under center.
And the Colts have had their way with the Titans, which is so unusual to see at the NFL level. It's one thing to see it in college, one team dominating another and having a long winning streak against them. But in the NFL, there's so much parity that you just rarely see a team win 11 straight times in your division. And I think the number is the Titans are 1-15 in their last 16 times facing the Colts. They're going to have an opportunity to break all that Monday night here against them. How do you see that playing out? Andrew Luck, we know Chuck Pagano has already ruled him out. It'll be Brissett again. I suspect Mariota will be back in there because of some of the things that you laid out there. I mean, there's just a gigantic drop-off between Mariota and Castle, even if he's at 75, 80%. How do you see that playing out Monday night?
I mean, what I've been taught from the football minds that trained me, which from Holmgren to Belichick to Sean Payton and all the great GMs that I've been around, is check the roster. You know, is your roster adequate enough to beat the team you're playing? The answer is absolutely yes. The Titans roster is one that I think a lot of GMs would drool over. They'd love to have. Are they the more athletic team? Absolutely. Are they the better coach team? They've proven that, yes. Has this team been inconsistent? Yes. I just think there comes some point in time when a team like the Titans, whether through coaches or leadership on the team, something is done, whether it's emotionally or verbally or something physically happens in a given game or at a practice, that the switch just turns on. And I'm just waiting for that for this team. You know, we see glimpses of it. The Jacksonville game this year, you can drool over the potential that this team has. But there's got to be something that flips the script where it's an every week occurrence where this team is physically and mentally dominant. And the pieces are there. And I'd be the head coach if I could put my finger on why the inconsistency happens. But listen, I can tell you this from a football mind. These two teams don't compare. The tape that we've seen of both teams, despite some of the inconsistency with the Titans, even with, you know, Marcus fully healthy, this Tennessee wins this game every freaking time on paper by the football mindset that I've been trained under. That being said, sometimes that mental dominance that the Colts seem to have over y'all's franchise, it's a real thing. You know, I think the Texans have that over their division when it matters. I think the Texans have it over the Colts when it matters. We'll see if Tennessee can kind of jump that hurdle this week.
I'm certainly not saying these guys are done, but Heath, it's starting, they've been very shaky and you're starting to wonder. We both know they're arguably on the back end of their careers. I think that's safe to say, but done, no, but going through some rough patches. And I want to just know your perspective, since you played with both Breeze and Brady, how those type of guys stay at this level and the level they've been at their whole career this late in their career, where now we're looking at Eli Manning and going, okay. And I realize now he's got all of his receivers out, but still, this is prior to everybody going down. He looks very shaky, and it's been a while since Eli has wowed us. Ben Roethlisberger, there's some stuff going on there with the Steelers. How is it guys like Breeze and Brady have maintained, and Manning obviously did it too, you were around those guys, but now we're starting to look at guys who are exceptional players, but now at a certain age you're going, how much more do they really have?
Yeah, well, those two guys, obviously Breeze is a better athlete than Tom, but those two guys They beat you mentally. The cliche Monday through Saturday, but they beat you mentally before the snap of the ball most times. And people think I hate spread quarterbacks. People think I hate, mobile quarterbacks. It's not the case. You know, my knock on Aaron Rodgers is, and if you talk to any quarterback that's played our game recently that understands protection manipulation and adjusting the protections at the line of scrimmage and resetting protections to protect yourself, they'll all tell you that Aaron Rodgers is IQ deficient compared to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Those three quarterbacks have literally changed the landscape of how every GM and head coach, if you can get one of those type guys, not because of athleticism, but because of mental stability at the line of scrimmage and then post-snap. You look at the time frame that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady specifically would get rid of the ball post-snap with very little mobility in the pocket, and truth be told, very porous offensive lines for a large portion of their career in a lot of ways. It's because the quarterback position is a mental position, first and foremost, if you want to hoist Lombardis. We can be enamored with the Aaron Rodgers arm talent. We can be enamored with his scrambling ability, the Cam Newton. But what happened to the Cam Newton that couldn't stand in the pocket and win a game from the pocket when he faced that Denver Broncos defense? That offense that we just fell in love with, that had all the records and the rushing touchdowns and all the big splash plays, got matched up versus a defense that was mentally and physically disciplined, and they embarrassed them. And so it's not the spread offense. It's not the mobile quarterback. It's just my now 17 years in the NFL business, 10 as player, 7 analyzing this, tells me one thing. You better, if you're going to win with a mobile quarterback, you better have Marshawn Lynch and then that Seattle defense, or you better pack a quarterback that can beat you mentally down in and down out. And that's where, listen, Aaron Rodgers, if his quarterback IQ, he's a smart, brilliant player. I'm not saying that. But if it doesn't start pushing towards the level of the Brees, the Brady, the great Peyton Manning that we knew, the athleticism is eventually going to fade, and his body will fail him. And so those are the areas where I harp on all the time, and I think a lot of football fans don't understand that. But if you're trying to win consistently, your quarterback has to do it from the pocket without depending on his legs.
Heath Evans on the line with us, NFL Network. Adrian Peterson switched teams yesterday, sent from New Orleans out to Arizona and the Cardinals. Chris Johnson waived. It looks like AP is going to be the guy for the foreseeable future. He said he's still got plenty in the tank. What do you think?
I think so, too. You know, listen, I was hesitant about the Sean Payton, you know, AD matchup, just because I know Sean, even at our best in 09 and 11, you know, we were a very quarterback-friendly offense. We were a very, hey, Reggie Bush is going to get 8 carries, Pierre Thomas is going to get 11, Mike Bell might get 6. It was never one big Hall of Fame back getting 20-plus carries, and that's what AD needs. AD needs consistency. He needs touches. He needs rhythm, and it will be ugly. It will be 3, and then 1, and then 6, and then 2, and then he's going to hit you for 15, and then before you know it, he has 22 touches in the fourth quarter, and he breaks your back with a 40-yard touchdown run, and that's, you watch him from his rookie year to when he's at his best in his later years, that's what he needs, and that just wasn't the Saints offense. B.A., Bruce Arians, he can give him that, and he's not the pass catcher that DJ is, and I hated that the league lost, David Johnson, but you can get that downhill power run game out of him where Carson Palmer can start taking some shots down the field and let Fitz go be the great wide receiver he is. They've got tight ends. They've got speedy wide receivers. It should help. I don't think it's the cure-all, but the man needs 20-plus touches, and somehow, some way, he's going to give you 90, 110, 120 yards. It's just what his career says he's going to do.
Last thing, Heath, Kansas City is the lone undefeated team in the league. How legit are they? When we get to late December and going into January, how legit are they?
Well, they have better coaches than most everyone in the league. The MO is that Andy Reid can pretty much outcoach anybody but Bill Belichick. He's done that once already in the regular season this year. He's done it in the regular season in the past. He's just yet to be able to do it when it matters in the playoffs. I would say this. If they continue to improve and they don't peak too early, the potential of that team is scary. They got to stay healthy. You know, we've started to see, you know, Conley went down last week at wide receiver, Eric Berry week one. Those are tough losses for a team that's very balanced and rhythmic oriented. But how they can score on defense, how they can hit your quarterback on defense, how they can eliminate your run game on defense, and then how they can do all those same things on offense in the scoring department, the balance of that team and the potential of that team is very, very scary.
And finally, Death Valley on Saturday, Auburn, LSU, who wins?
Man, the last time we won there, I was a sophomore in college, 99, and we broke out cigars on their field after we beat them. We were unranked, and they were pretty I don't even know what they were ranked. Auburn should win. You know, Auburn's the better team. I love Auburn through and through. I love it so much that it makes me hate them at times by the inconsistency of that team. But they need to go into Death Valley and get one. Otherwise, things are going to start to get real, real hot around there for some coaches.
Yeah, the good news is it's not at night, so they will not be the fans. They will not be as liquored up as normal.
You mean the boys won't get hit with little mini liquor bottles coming out of the tunnel?
Oh, yeah, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean, I remember Taquio Spikes my freshman year. He was telling me about certain stadiums that when you're coming out of the tunnel, make sure you keep your helmet on because you're going to get hit with liquor bottles in there. Death Valley was definitely one of them.
Oh, man, good stuff. Hey, always good to talk to you. We'll be watching your coverage and watching the game tonight. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Heath Evans, NFL Network analyst. You can watch him on NFL Total Access at 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget Eagles, Panthers, CBS, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. Those are your options for tonight's game. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of 3D. We'll do that next on 102.5 The Game. So it's going to be forever,
or it's going to go down in flames. Back here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Predators and Stars tonight. We'll have pregame coverage at 6 o'clock with Darren McFarlane, and then Pete Weber, Hal Gill will be on the call at 7, the first Western Conference matchup for the Predators tonight. And Ryan, the Dallas Stars in town, you know, the new look Dallas Stars.
Yep.
And there's going to be some familiar faces to Preds fans. Dan Hamhuis is one of those, but some guy named Radulov also.
Who's he?
The Dallas Stars. Yeah, I've heard of him. Briefly.
A couple times, briefly.
But yeah, it should be a good game tonight after that 6-5 win on Tuesday night. And I actually want to start with that. Before we look forward, look back a little bit. And after the banner raising and all the emotion with that, we saw a pretty good hockey game. But we saw a game that was bookend by a really good first period by the Preds, especially the first 10 minutes or so. Going up, they would end up going up 3-0 in the second period, but then you kind of have a great performance at the end of the game as well. How do they clean up some of the stuff in the middle?
Well, that's a great question, Chase. How I view Tuesday night's game is almost like it was three different games within one game. They go up 3-0, and it looked like they were ready to run away with it, and then two goals in 16 seconds for the Flyers got them back in it. And they ended up scoring five unanswered goals to go up 5-3. And you're kind of thinking to yourself, man, where did this game get away from the Preds? And then, obviously, we know how it finished. Philip Forsberg scored the goal to make it 5-4, and then two goals in the last minute 17 to get the 6-5 win in regulation for the Preds. You know, there are going to be some growing pains defensively for this Preds team for two reasons. One, obviously, the loss of Ryan Ellis is going to be a big loss in the first half of this season as he recovers from offseason knee surgery. But, you know, you also have Sam Girard, a 19-year-old defenseman, which we saw some good, we saw some bad Tuesday night in his debut. I'd say more good than bad.
Right.
And they're also dealing with the change at assistant coach with Phil Housley being in Buffalo now as head coach. You've got Kevin McCarthy running that defense now. And there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period without Ellis, without Housley, and some new, I guess, thoughts and designs of the defensive play, there could be some growing pains there here in the first few weeks as everyone gets acclimated to a little bit of a different system. So I'm not surprised, I guess you could say, that there have been some some defensive lapses in the first few games, but I think those are things that will only be ironed out as we go along here with as good as the defense is for the Preds.
Absolutely, and the pairings from Morning Skate, according to Adam Vingen, Ekholm and Gerard, Emelin and Subban, Irwin Weber. So pretty much what we saw the other night, and also appears the Jofa line, at least in Morning Skate, is back together as well. And I kind of liked mixing that up because and Terry Crisp was on Brandon Fitz this morning and kind of made this point that we know what the Jofa line can do. Peter Laviolette can put them back together anytime he wants to, but it's good to kind of play with different combinations just to kind of see what works and what doesn't.
Well, I think, yeah, and Peter Laviolette likes to have balance throughout his lineup, and I think that's part of the reason why in the preseason, in the first couple games, he experimented with different line combinations, and we saw Tuesday night, we saw that experiment once again, and then late in the game, we saw Jofa back together. So it's not very surprising. I think we're going to see that a lot, especially in the first month or two, because you're still trying to acclimate guys like Scott Hartnell and Nick Bonino, who I think, especially Scott Hartnell, 3 goals in 3 games, he's been a fantastic addition for 1 year, $1 million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's a great deal already for the Preds with what he's providing. And Nick Bonino, I think, is only going to get better as he gets more acclimated into the system and, you know, up to full speed. This is a guy who didn't even play in preseason. So I think with those two joining the forward lineup, and we already see that Colton Sissons did not play Tuesday night, is unlikely to play tonight, even though he participated in Morning Skate. I think there is going to be, like I said, with defense, with growing pains, there could be a little bit more with the offense, maybe not as much as there are on defense, but this is still kind of a work in progress, and we saw that work in progress right in front of our eyes Tuesday night, and yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think this team is going to be a little bit different than it was last year. Every team is different from year to year, but we saw the main pieces Tuesday night rise to the occasion. Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson connecting on that fourth goal, and then Forsberg obviously scoring the game-winning goal. So, tonight's game is going to be very interesting against Dallas because we don't really know what to expect from this Stars team. Everyone talks about how loaded they are offensively with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and Alexander Radulov. But with Ken Hitchcock, he likes to have that defensive mindset. And with new goaltender Ben Bishop, he's supposed to start tonight for the Stars. I mean, this is a team that – if they put the offense with a good defensive system, that could be a real legit contender in the NHL this year. But they've been a little bit up and down in the first 3 games, just like the Preds have.
Yeah, they're 1-2 as well. And the thing to me that stands out is this is now going to be the fourth game of the season for both of these teams. It's very, very early on, especially for this new-look Dallas Stars team. I don't know if we're really going to get a sense of exactly what they are when we see them tonight. I think the next time these two teams meet, that's where we kind of start to see the chemistry building with this new team. But that's going to be the interesting part is Ben Bishop. You brought him up. Is he going to be the Ben Bishop we saw a few years ago with Tampa Bay, or is he going to be what we've kind of seen the last few years? I think anybody would have been an upgrade in goal for Dallas. That's been the biggest problem with them over the last few seasons, and I definitely think Ben Bishop – is a nice addition, but exactly what will Ben Bishop be?
That's another great question, Chase. I think Ben Bishop with Ken Hitchcock, that combination could turn into Ben Bishop having a really good season for the Stars. He's already had a great start with a 1.15 goals against average in 2 games. You know, Bishop, like you said, he's a huge upgrade over what they had. Kari Lehtinen is now the backup to Bishop. Antti Niemi was horrible for the Stars last year. And Ben Bishop is, like you said, he's a big upgrade. So with the upgrade they made and the reinforcements they made on offense, this Stars team is more potent than it was last year. And going into last year, there were a lot of people thinking the Stars could be a Stanley Cup contender. It didn't turn out that way due to some of the injuries they had. But this Stars team is no joke. And we're going to see firsthand tonight, you know, guys like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, they have struggled offensively to start the year. But like you said, the next time they play is December 5th in Dallas. And I think both of these teams, not just the Stars, both of these teams will be in a better spot than they are in now. There are some growing pains for both teams right now.
Yeah, and I think we underestimate, even though the core of this Predators team is back from last year's Stanley Cup final run, you know, there's still chemistry. Chemistry is a thing. And you mentioned Scott Hartnell, Nick Bonino. Those are the two big ones, Alexi Immelin as well. So it's going to take a little bit of time for the chemistry to kind of work itself out. And not to mention, you have Kevin Fiala that missed the majority of the playoffs because of the injury. He's working back into things. And, you know, I think that that's just – it's going to take time with both of these teams. So I'm interested to see how that all plays out tonight.
Yeah, you mentioned Kevin Fiala. I feel like watching him, he looks like a bona fide top six forward right
yes.
now.
Yes.
You know, the production isn't there quite yet, but he looks the part. He looks like the guy that we saw last year score 3 goals in the last 8 regular season games and then be a major factor in that first round against Chicago before going down in game 1 in St. Louis. Kevin Fiala looks the part right now. And, you know, another guy, you mentioned youth, another guy that looked the part for the most part in his NHL debut Tuesday night was Sam Girard. And
yes.
You know, I think in the first period, that was a great first impression for him. In the second period, he had a costly turnover that led to Philadelphia's second goal, the Nolan Patrick goal, his first NHL goal. But Sam Girard looks like an NHL defenseman that is only going to get better. I would say right now, if you include Ellis, Sam Girard is the 5th best defenseman on the Predators roster. Now, the coaching staff in the front office, they're going to have to decide – whether or not they want to keep him past the 9 games. If you keep him past 9 games played or 20 games overall, then you knock off a year on his entry-level contract, and you would essentially be keeping him for the rest of the season. And I think if he looks the part, if he continues to look the part just like he did in the first in his first game and throughout the preseason, I think it's definitely something worth looking into, you know, keeping Girard around, because he can move the puck offensively, and that is so important in today's NHL is puck possession. And the way he can move the puck, the way he can possess the puck in the offensive zone, he looks calm with the puck on his stick. You know, he had a great outlet pass to Ryan Johansson before Johansson chipped it up to Forsberg for that 4th goal the other night. I really like what I see out of Girard so far.
I have as well. And so we'll talk about him a little bit more on the other side, but I also want to talk about Philip Forsberg and the start he has had. He's Ryan Porth. I'm Chase McCabe. It is 3D. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick will be back here in just a little bit as they're taking care of interviews and all of that with Morning Skate. We are live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.